We'll be in Matthew 21, which we've read. Lord, I just want to thank you. I just honor you right now and bless you with what you're saying and doing in the midst of us. Thank you for being so big and so perfect and so complete. Thank you. Amen. So I got a, Kathy had shared with me too, Kathy, that in Exodus, I think it's around chapter 12 or something, right before the Passover, the first Passover, even before the first Passover is enacted out and all the liberty that it brings, God's telling them that you're going to do this every year to remember what I'm about to do. I like God. I've never met somebody more confident. I mean, the only other person I've ever met, or actually the person I've met that demonstrates the confidence of God is Jesus. I mean, haven't you? I've been just ruined. I mean, I'm just taken down. I go, Jesus, how did you do that? And I keep asking him. He's starting to show me. Scary. Cool. But he walked with perfection with the Father. He kept himself in complete submission to the Father's voice and to his word. He lived in the Bible. He was the Bible made flesh. He read the Bible. He worshiped with the Bible. And Jesus just moved, and thus it is written, thus it is necessary. Thus it is written, thus it was necessary. Thus it was written, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So he was in a beautiful place. So back to Exodus. God said that what you were to do, all of Israel, every family was to go on the 10th day of Nisan, which is tomorrow, because Passover will be next Friday. Go and get a lamb for your house. Everybody has to get a Passover lamb. If your house is too small, then join with your neighbors and you two have one lamb for both houses. And so she'd share with me that was the biblical entrance of Jesus. Are we doing the video? I don't know. I don't think so. Oh, what? Let me just tell you that we have that video online. Maybe we'll do it at the end. We'll do it at the end. All right. I don't know. How am I supposed to know anything? I mean, I get in the spirit and I'm not good for anything. I forget what I'm supposed to say and I feel the spirit and he starts pulling me this way. What do you guys want to do? You want to watch the video? All right, turn the video on. That'll get me a chance to... This is online, you can watch it, and it was a couple years ago we put this together, and this is the promo, and go online and enjoy it, for it's the Passion Week we're in.
On behalf of the captain of our salvation and our crew, I'd like to welcome all of you and thank you for flying Jubilee Air. Feel free to take your seatbelts off, as it may be the Lord calling us home. Again, we just want to thank you for flying Jubilee Air. We fly higher. Sit back and enjoy our final approach.
Hey, welcome. My name is Cindy Del Toro de Gonzalez Delgado de Francisco Francesca Oficina. And I am here at the Happy Holy Church where we've had news of a report of a lot of disruption and even an act of vandalism. I'm trying to locate the individual who phoned into the station the report. So if you will just hold a moment. Oh, here he is. Hello, sir. Were you the one who gave us a call saying that there was some disturbance here at the church?
It wasn't a call. It wasn't a report. It was a crime. Do you understand me?
No, really.
This man is crazy.
He's like, he is.
I'm calling my lawyer. Somebody get him out!
I'm sorry, my client is available for comment at this time. My neck.
Excuse me.
Well,
sounds exciting. There's more to find out. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back at you.
Was it real mud?
Am I right?
That was a big mud.
Thank you. Signing off. This is Cindy Del Toro de Gonzalez Delgado de something de oficina saying bye for now.
It's just, it's madness. Do you see what I'm saying? And he comes in talking about, this is my house of, holy house of prayer. What? I'm like, a house of prayer? What are you talking about? And he says, oh, you guys are making, turning into like a swap meet for mobsters. And I'm like, a swap meet? A swap meet? Do you think you would find this quality merchandise at a swap meet? I don't think so. This is like Nordstrom Rack at least. You know what I mean? Like, so... yeah, write that down, Nordstrom Rack. If you can get me in there, let me know. I don't think you hear what I'm saying. So the people who give, the more you give, and then you give the most, and then you're the holiest, so you are closer to God. Did I tell you that you sit in the front? Like next to Steve and Cammy.
Right.
So
I go back to pouring el vino, and then the evening became... how you say?
Crazy.
Sí. Crazy. It kind of took a turn.
Yeah. So the master started speaking of a new covenant he was making with his friends. It was so inspiring. Jesus, he's so beautiful. He started talking about how the bread was his body broken for us and the wine was his blood. Shed for us?
Pazzo!
You guys, the vine thing is like metaphor.
A what?
It's a metaphor. It's like No metaphor. It's like a parable. Huh? What? Like a short story to prove a point? What are you, homeschooled? What are you, what's going on? Okay.
On behalf of the captain of our salvation and crew, I'm Trudy, the steward of the cabin, and I want to thank all of you for flying with Jubilee Air, where we fly higher. We're now making our final approach, so make sure your seatbelts are fastened. And again, any of you who've been sneaking cigarettes in the bathroom, please make sure they're extinguished at this time. I'm Trudy. Fly us again. Good night.
Oh, that's good. I was watching on my phone, and then but I've always delayed, so I just go back and sit down. Praise the Lord. So here, let's begin the final approach. I call it the final ascent now because he's on his way. Matthew 21, verse 1. Praise you, Jesus. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage of the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, and he said, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Is that crazy? I mean, what confidence in the word of the Lord that was spoken in the Spirit? And he knew it had to happen because it was Scripture that God made known to him, the Son of Man, that we're going to fulfill Zechariah before we get into Jerusalem. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now, I just think, being his disciple, that's crazy. Just go steal a couple donkeys. If you get caught, tell them I need them. That'd be like me saying to Brian, go get Larry Bingman's new BMW. And if he asks for any problem, I say, I need it. So he goes on. and it was done that it, and so it said it was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The humblest man in the world is about to overthrow the most proud spirit ever existing. And he said, it's a trap, and he's coming in low. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and he set him on them. So he's on the colt, never ridden, and everything is in just yielding. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the roads. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before them and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when they had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And so the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Psalm 118, beautiful psalm. This is where that declaration comes out of Hosanna. Save us, Lord. We use the word Hosanna, but it's a Hebrew word. And it means save now. Save now. Save now. Save now. Save now. Blessed are you, Son of David, coming in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you. There is such a revelation that's taking over the conscience of people because it's important for the Passover lamb to be received. He's the Passover lamb, and he's coming in to go to the Father's house. Well, then Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And then he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. It's the strongest word. That's worth just taking a strong and walking through that. It's all kinds of places in the New Testament. And he said to them, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Yes. Have you never read? Do you know, Jesus, don't you read your Bible? That's what he's saying. You don't read the Bible. How can you know what's going on? Haven't you ever read? And he's going to quote Psalm 8. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Now let's go to Psalm 8 real quick. If you could bring me up to Psalm 8. Very quoted psalm. And I want us to just see how Jesus took the psalm and why he used that word and where what's happening and why it's so important for us just to come into yielded submission to this truth. So Psalm verse 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Jesus used the word perfected praise. Same thing. It's majesty, it's praise, it's strength, and it's perfected, it's made into completeness, and it's coming out of the mouth of nursing infants and babes because of your enemies. And the enemy there means that which is crowding you, that which would hinder. Jerusalem is probably the most religious city I could ever imagine and ever being in. There's so much efforts of man to try to control God or trying to be controlled by religion that's trying to control man. And it's just really, and here comes Jesus. And he came with an army of praise. He came with people. Remember that when the Pharisees confronted the disciples who were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, he said, tell your disciples to stop saying that. He said, if I tell them to stop, if they stop, the rocks will start praising me. There is so much happening right now in this moment when the Passover lamb is being brought home to the Father's house. He enters through the city, into the city through the power of praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise. Why? Because enemies were encamped. It was a setup. God's intentionality was that now is the time for my son to be the Passover lamb and the sacrifice for sin for all time for all. And the enemies, and this was not the day that we're going to have opportunity. So he just says, you've got that which would crowd you out. So let me just silence the enemy and the avenger with praise. With praise. With praise. By praising Jesus. By praising him, saying, save me, save us now, salvation, salvation now, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, praise, praise, praise. Matthew 23, after he does a chapter on the Pharisees, which we read earlier this week, verse 37, says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me. You shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This was God's invasion into his city, into his temple, to set it in his order for the receiving of the Passover lamb that would be offered at Passover or right before. And praise was just very much the means for Jesus to move so unaffected. Just as Pontius Pilate, when he wanted to do everything in his power to release Jesus from being killed, found he could not because of the multitude of the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. There is a call for each of us to join our faith in the Word of God and praise Jesus for who he is, whether we see it or don't, whether we're enjoying it or not, whether we know how to produce it, but just to begin to declare, he is here. And he's coming to now change the church, to transfigure the church into his glory. He's coming to rapidly change our lives, and it's so scary. I have no means to carry what he's saying, but I'm being carried by what he's saying. We are a people, I kind of wrote the title, hey, where are you? It's Palm Sunday. I wish I was the child. I wish I was the disciple in perfect obedience to go get the donkey. I wish I was the guys engaged. I probably would have been engaged. But I also fear that too many times I'm the Pharisees. I'm the chief priest. I'm the one walking around going, this doesn't seem appropriate. Or I'm jealous, but I can't say jealousy because you're not supposed to be jealous, so I'm just going to be concerned. Don't you love how we just change our heart attitude by changing the word, but it's hypocrisy. He's coming. He's coming to his house. He's coming to his house. But this time he's coming to his house not as the Passover lamb, but as the judge. And when he does, he will purify us with fire, with love, with abandoned worship. And we will welcome him in the same way by saying, Hosanna, blessed are you, comes in the name of the Lord. We want you to take over. This is your house. Take over. And we'll say that about our own homes, our own businesses, our families. And it won't be because I think if he does take over, it'll be a better position and I'll get in a better place. And I think it's a great idea. No, it's just he's the Lord. He has to have it. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. He said to his disciples, if they ask you, what are you doing with the donkey? Say, the Lord has need of them. And he's coming to awaken the church into the full measure of the stature, of the fullness of Christ. He's coming to, I'm so scared of that idea because I know I can't perform it and I can't maintain it. Jesus walked in perfect union with the Father, and we will be in perfect union with Jesus Christ. We will be in perfect union before he returns. We will be in perfect perfection, completeness. We will be walking in the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We will not be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, chasing this and chasing that. We'll be just beholding the Lamb, living up, growing up inside the head, coming down with love and blessing one another with his kindness. And a generation of love will be breaking open that we'll start expanding through the power of his love. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. You don't see it yet, but it's already happening. Because the end of time is hastening. The return of the Lord's hastening. And the perfection of the church must come to pass. Without the perfection of the church, he's not returning. He's not coming for a bride that looks frumpy, overweight, frustrated, angry. It's got a list that long as a, you know. I used to think that God writes his word and I watch over it to make sure he performs it. And then the Lord said, you're just a nagging wife. He said, Cammie doesn't do that to you. Why are you doing that to me? I learned more things about God from Cammie by watching the way she just says, well, Lord, your word says this, so I'll walk in that place, even though I'm not sure it's going to benefit me because you know who I'm married to. But I'll just go ahead, and you said Sarah called Abraham Lord, and you know, put her in somebody else's house, and he must be going through something, so I'll just let him go through something too. And you just come into submission. See, the whole church is going to come into submission to Jesus Christ, the head. We're going to do what he says, and not because we're trying to do it, because you can't do it. I can't do what he says. I read the Gospels. I cannot do what he says. I'm not. I mean, all the parables that he gives after he goes into Jerusalem, I fail every one of them. So I can't be that I could take what he says and do it. That's not how it works. It's union and submission to the one who is the carrier of that resource and letting his words just find expression. You're saying it. I worship you. Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Remember, this will be a year of praise for the ambush. He said, we're going to have wars before war started. And he said, I want you to praise me. And I want you to say my mercy. And I don't want you to look at the enemy. I want you to look at my face. I want you to stand in me, rise up in me, and see salvation. See me. And then tell me I'm merciful. Just tell me. And tell me I'm merciful all the time, forever. And just tell me that. And I want you to do it. I want you to sing. I want you to pray. And I want you to make sound. Yeah. But how easy is that, right? Seriously. We think sermons are kind of like, like they're kind of inspirational, make you feel better till the next time. They're instructions. They're charges of heaven. He said, this year you're going to have to praise me. Because I want to bring a great victory. You've got enemies you can't deal with because they're your cousins. But it's time to overthrow things that have been pestering you. There's things that are crowding you that won't allow you into your destiny. And you can't overcome it with your own source and resource. So rise up and praise me. Praise me. Praise me. Praise me. And tell me I'm merciful. While it looks like you're going to face your death. And what's happening? I told the men yesterday. I'm just so thankful. Because when we got the charge to praise for the year of ambush, 2 Chronicles 20, 22, when they began to sing and praise him, the Lord set ambushes. And he destroyed Ammon and Mount Seir and Moab. The Lord had said to me, he said, you need to put something in their hands so they can praise me. And I knew immediately when he said that, he meant the book of Psalms. So we started in January. with the book of Psalms. Took 150 Psalms, do 5 Psalms a day, and we just read them out loud. Read them out loud because I don't want to, like Cammy said, I don't want to read them to study it. I just want to read it to praise him with. Oh, my whole life got revolutionized. My whole life got revolutionized because I was now reading the Logos, not the Rhema. I wasn't following a topical Jesus. I was following the complete Jesus. And I seen the judge and the righteous one. And so once the war broke out in Ukraine, I said, well, there's a whole lot of Psalm to deal with this. And I can come into agreement with God because of his favorite psalmist, who was a warrior worshiper, David, that the aggressor will be undone. The wicked will be overthrown. Those who are digging pits will fall into them. Those who are setting up nets will be trapped by them. And there will be a liberation. And it's happening. Even though there's constant fear wanting to come on the next wave of something. But it's not going to overcome. We can't be afraid. Because Jesus is Lord. And he's taking possession. He's taking possession. So I was thanking the men, because without the charge to pray, as men of inheritance, I wouldn't have engaged with the, what do we do to take a word like time to praise him. And then I wouldn't have heard the Lord say, read the book of Psalms. I never wouldn't have been reading the book of Psalms. And I wouldn't have had my whole praise life revolutionized inside Psalms. I've done it 3 times now. I'm on my 4th round. I'm not stopping. But I'm adding new chapters for us all to read. Can you imagine this? We are right now in this little location called Jubilee Church, the living body of Christ. Every member, you hear his voice, you've come to faith, you're following him. That's the living body of Christ. But we're inside a church that's not just Bible believing. We're Bible reading. We're Bible readers. All through the gospel, Jesus will say, haven't you ever read? Haven't you seen in your scriptures? Haven't you ever read? It's written, it's written, it's written. He took down the devil by saying, it's written, it's written, it's written. And it's inside the Logos that the liberation takes place. Then the Rhema is when you hear God speaking to you from within the Logos specifically, that you now have to carry it inside of you as you abide in Jesus. The 3 signs of a disciple. You have to live in the word, the Logos. And you'll know truth. Truth will make you free. Then you have to live in love. Abide in his love. And you'll love like he loves you. And you'll be a recipient of love. Never look for love except from Jesus. And then give it away everywhere you go. But love does not come anywhere but from Jesus. He's the best lover. If you're looking to your marriage for love, you're going to be upset with somebody. If you're looking for your children for love, you're going to be upset with somebody. If you're looking for the earth, you just look for Jesus. But then you receive his love. He starts loving you. Oh, you're so beautiful. And then you can love. I love you guys so much. It just blows me away. I don't know how I love you this much. Seriously, I mean, I feel his love. It's his love. He's loving me, and he's letting me love you. And everything around us isn't an issue. It's only us and Jesus. That's all we have to sort out. If you get you and Jesus sorted out, you are an unstoppable force for whatever Jesus wants you to do. Yes. And all we have to do is abide in Jesus, live in Jesus, and let the words we're hearing him speak live in us. So I'm living inside of the whole Bible. Just reading it aloud so I can hear it, so I can read to my Father, so I can hear Jesus speak to me. And so I just begin to hear those words. I keep those words inside of me because they're my confession of hope, and I honor him. Did you know, beloved, we are going to look like the Bible? And not because we consciously decide, I think we're going to follow the scriptures. Because he's going to take over with his living word. He's doing it. It was written. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes thou hast perfected praise. To stop, to silence, to still the enemy, the haters of God, and the Avengers, but for set time. Because soon it was going to be time for his offering up. Just a week. And I want to tell you on Wednesday, just tune in or come over. I want to tell you because we think the crowd took him, or the Pharisees took him, or the chief priest took him, or Pilate took him. Father ordained it. It was done through the hands of lawlessness, but it was preordained and foreordained to be done because of Scripture. And it's powerful that watch Jesus. So I'll close with this simple thought. I'm being undone, overwhelmed, and connected. I watch Jesus and I say, Jesus, I don't know how you did that. How can you just tell your disciples, hey, what are you going to feed them? And then know what you're going to do. And then have such confidence, tell everybody sit in groups of 50 and 100, and then take 5 loaves and look up into heaven and offer the Father thanks, and then bless it, and then hand to the disciples and let them go. How did you walk around knowing that when 10 lepers came to you and said, Son of David, have mercy on us? He says, go show yourself to the priest. And then the Samaritan, the one leper who gets healed, who turns around to show gratitude, and Jesus is thankful for the gratitude and affirms that gratitude as the completion of real faith. But he says, weren't there 10 healed? Weren't there 10? But you see, that's Jesus. But you see, that's who we're going to be. Not just a few of us. It's going to be all of us. It's going to be all of us. We're going to ask. But you see, I realize it's not in me. I don't got any of that kind of faith. It's Jesus' faith. And Jesus' faith is in the living word because he did what he heard the Father say. He was. What's happening is so we are going to go into a rapid ascent and rapid transformation. I mean, rapid transformation. And it's not going to be because our souls got connected. Our souls got submitted. And the word got higher. And we began to go, what you said is, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. There's it. That's it. That's the essence of everything. I'm in the Father. I've been accepted. My resurrection is your justification. We're one. You're in me, and that's your identity. As I follow the Father, you follow me. So I'm reading. I'm reading the Gospels, and I'm just going, I can't believe you did that. How did you do that? Now, I'm not asking that like, oh, you know, I'm equal. I know that I'm going to walk in the same way as he walked, which means I have to obey his voice, and he'd follow him like he followed the Father. Do you understand? We're going to do that. Not just a few of us, all of us. Or the scripture's not true. And thus it is written, thus it's necessary. We're all going to be changed. And what I'm finding is that the written word spoken out loud, offered to God as truth that I welcome and receive, though I can't produce or perform, but I welcome and receive and I acknowledge it, then we can have transformation because it's not me changing me, it's me submitting to the one who carries whom I'm in. And I follow his words. And he'll say, he has then the authority to start saying, this is the way I want you to act, this is what I want you to do, this is where I want you to go over there or over here. And all of a sudden you get beside yourself and you start going, well, God said to do this, so I'm just going to go do it. And he does it. He's healing. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I don't know how to produce it or even share it right now. But I thank you for the living word. I am so thankful that you became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in perfect submission to Father through a disciplined daily pursuit of you. Father, Jesus prayed and prayed and spoke the Psalms as praise and became a part of the scripture that he had become flesh. And as a man, walked ways we never have dreamed. But yet now we are, by being in Christ, being conformed into his likeness, jointly formed into his image of the firstborn, of the many born. Lord, I thank you for that. Praise is a very powerful way to accelerate our belief systems out of traditions and limitations and religion and restraint into an unlimited, complete, perfect God. Hosanna, save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. I don't want to repent, not of what I know, but what I don't know, what I'm not yielding. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Jesus, we love you. Do you want to be saved? Tell him, I want you to save me. Come on in. Rearrange where I am. Define who I am. Frame who I am with your living word. Call me into who you are. Who you are, I am in you. In you, we are one. We're united. Inseparable. Inseparable. One. Worthy is the Lamb. You are the conqueror. Victorious. You're triumphant. You see, the more I see him, the more I become like him. Not ever to be sustained by myself or with myself, only to be sustained and carried by him, with him. He does the work. Jesus said, if you saw me, you've seen the Father, and it's the Father in me, he's doing the work. We'll say, if you've seen us, you've seen Jesus. And it's not us, it's Jesus in us. He's doing the work. And I know that is so far away from my brain, like, yeah, right. But it's not me. It's not you. It's not us. It's just yielding. Jesus, come. Live inside your glorious body. Make us washed, white, fresh, forgiven. All the guilt's coming off. All the shame's coming off. All the disappointment's coming off. All the offenses are falling off. All the anger is going away. How can you be angry when you've been forgiven? You see, we're living in something that we're not acknowledging. It's like having a temple that we make into a swap meet. We don't understand. We're living inside of Christ. And everything Christ is now being radiated and able to break open. But we have to let him affect me. So let it go. Release the shame. Release the blame. No, don't blame anybody. The only problem you have is you. Blame is a way of delaying responsibility and a way of delaying deliverance. Oh God, I don't mean to do this. How many are willing to become perfected in Christ? Which means to become completed, matured. How many are willing? I'm not asking, can you or are you? I'm just saying, are you willing? If you're willing, stand up. It starts with a willing heart. How many are willing to read the scriptures aloud every day? Just do it. How many are willing for Jesus to bring transformation from glory to glory? From glory to glory. How many are willing to become like Jesus? Not in yourself, but in Christ. How many? Are you willing? I know it's like my mind is being so renewed that I'm thinking thoughts I never could think because I always looked about us and thought, well, it can't possibly happen because it's us. But now I don't look at us, I look at him. And I see Deborah being transformed. I see Carolyn being transformed. I see Larry coming alive. I see every one of you just coming alive. I see you singing and dancing. I see old men prophesying and declaring regional shifts. I see healings everywhere. But it's not man-centric. It's all Christ-centric. It's all because it's written, thus it is necessary. Thus it is written, the church will be glorified, and he will present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Thus it is written, thus it is necessary. We will be without spot or wrinkle. It's happening. No limitations. So if you will just with me, every day I want to repent. I want to think something I've never thought before or remember something I forgot. I want to come to truth and yield. I want to have of course, it's you. Every single day, every moment throughout the day, it's all I long for, because repentance turns me back to truth. And truth frees me from whatever's captured me. And when I'm freed from whatever I'm being captured, I begin to have a new experience and freshness of the Holy Spirit. I want to hear your voice, that I want to be known and undone. You see, I don't change. He changes me. He's, and all that I become, like right now, I am not once he's not on me. But I'm learning that he doesn't want to ever leave me. He just wants me to always be trusting him and expectant. And you begin to become more conscious that he's always with us. He's always in us. He's always doing something. In this room, online, there is the capacity to great release a torrent of an outflow of the Holy Ghost and rivers. But we got to turn our lips from speaking evil and guile. We got to quit cursing man. You cannot curse man and bless God. The fountain can't go out. So the river of the Holy Spirit has to be a river of the Word of God. Just being spoken, singing psalms and hymns, one another, singing, making melody in our heart. Put your hand on your heart, please. Jesus, you told us in the scriptures, James told us exactly, you spoke it in Psalms. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Lord, we ask you that you would cause a purification of our hearts. You would come into my little living temple, my little body temple, and you would come and you would overthrow what has become corrupt and disruptive and has taken the house of prayer that I am to be and made me a den of thieves. I'm giving you permission. Please come in. Come on, can you, if you're giving him permission, tell him. You can't save yourself. You need Jesus. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. I'm giving you permission to heal my body because of the same spirit that's raised Jesus from the dead is inside of me. I'm giving you permission to save my mind from torment. I'm giving you permission to put a garment of praise and take out depression. Shalamaraharedo. Oh, I'm giving you permission. Fill me again with the Spirit. Sing with me in the Spirit. Come on, release the fountain again. It's time for purity. Yeah. Whoa. Out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. You take your hands and hold them up. Lord, I want my hands clean. I just right now declare the blood of Jesus is what cleanses hands. Oh, just like we wash our hands before we eat a meal, we wash our hands inside of your forgiveness, your justification, your deliverance. I give you my hands back. I give you my feet back. I give you my eyes back. My ears back. Help me. Help me. Oh, yeah, no, no, no. All right, now receive forgiveness, receive deliverance, receive newness of life, receive a washing. He's doing it, he's doing it, he's doing it. One day we're just going to cross over the threshold and we'll be in the glory of God, like one step over the boundary of the earth into heaven, the revelation of Christ. Now I want you, we'll sing this, I see your face, I hear your voice. And would you peer with me into heaven? Would you look with your heart? Set your mind on the things above. Would you behold your King seated high and lifted up? And as you see him, he will change, affect, and demonstrate himself in our midst.
I behold your face.
Worship, worship.
I hear your voice.
Of course we do.
I see your face.
Yes, Lord.
I behold your face. I hear your voice.
Oh, yes, Lord. We do, Lord, yes, we do, Lord.
I hear your voice.
Yes, we do, Lord, yes, we do, Lord, yes, we do, Lord.
I
behold your face. Yes, we do, Lord, yes, we do, Lord.
Lord, I hear your voice.
Oh, yeah, la madre, la madre, la madre. We're lifting up holy hands.
We're lifting up holy hands.
They're clean, they're forgiven.
Son of God, Son of Man, to you only
we're lifting up holy hands.
Glory in the highest.
Son of God, Son of Man,
we adore thee. We're lifting up holy hands to you, Jesus.
Son of God, Son of Man,
we exalt thee.
We're lifting up holy hands.
Glory in the highest.
Son of God, Son of Man. I'm going to release a blessing. We'll be on our way to a meal, but I have a vision I just saw that the Lord said share. And it concerns all of us. What I heard him say was that I want everyone to see that when you read the scripture, you're reading your future and you're accepting truth that you cannot perform, but you're just receiving it as truth, whether you can perform it or not. You take all pressure off of yourself and just acknowledge the truth has been spoken, so therefore it will be performed. He is able to perform what he promised. And you don't try to take the favorite scriptures, you receive all the scriptures. And you don't organize it in your mind, you just receive it in your heart. And you just read with possibility, dream. There is coming in this next season, the first awakening is the heart begins to believe again. And the eyes begin to see again. And the ears begin to hear again. And there's multiple turnings to the living God. And we're healed again and made whole. And we're running around telling each other, you don't believe what Jesus just did to me. He's made me whole. He made me whole. He just told me what I've been doing, and now I'm free. He spoke into my life. He pointed out where I was, and he now called me out of it, and I'm free. And I'm healed, and I'm delivered, and I'm rejoicing. Oh, how many willing for that? Hold up your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you are able. We are your people. We are a glorious church, not yet glorified, but we will be soon. We are a people that will be transformed from one degree of glory to another by beholding inside the mirror of your living word, you, Jesus, our Redeemer. Whoa. Now in the name of Jesus, I pray we will worship you as we read through this gospel week. And we will be amazed, and we will praise you, and we will recognize what you did, you could only do, but we will follow you in what you did and what you're doing. Lord says, don't think about it. Just read it out loud. Don't think about it. Don't try to sort it out with the brain. Don't limit it with your mind. Let your heart believe. And just receive. The time of the hastening of the bride into perfection is coming on us so quickly. And all we have to do is yield to the change. The changing of garments, the changing of names, the changing of the storyline we've lived under. He's even changing scripts. You thought you got a bad script. And he's saying, no, you just read it in a different way than it was meant to be read. Let me read it to you how I wrote it. And then you go, thus it was written, thus it was necessary. Oh, whoa, I see where you were taking. Oh, beloved, Lord, I ask you right now, we have to go, I want to go eat. And I want the healing teams, the healing ministers, come up, please, so we can have healings and miracles. And I want to just let the love of God just flood out of our bellies into one another's lives and saying, I love you because Jesus loves me. And because he loves us, we are one body and we are alive and we're seeing the future. Everyone's becoming like Christ. Everyone's growing up into the head. Everyone is coming into their destiny. No one's a fearful. No one's in competition because we're all completed inside of his love. So Lord, I prophesy today's lunch. Bless the ladies. God bless those who work so hard just so we can have a fun time to eat. Bless them. Fulfill their dreams, wherever they've been longing for you to bring outcome and breakthrough. Do it. Do miracles. And Lord God, we declare right now that we receive the love of God to give it away to each other and to our family and to our neighbors and even to our enemies. Baptize us in your love with the Holy Spirit and power. And Lord, as we go out to the nations, we declare for Ukraine that it will have no war. Russia will withdraw and flee in Jesus' name.